Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We're currently doing the chapter on the lawful instances of backbiting. In other words, the general rule is the person doesn't listen to any type of backbiting, nor does he make any type of backbiting. And we explain to speak something of his brother that his brother does not like, and to speak in the absence of his brother, this is called backbiting. So this generally is haram, completely forbidden, either to listen or to speak. However, there are certain instances that permit backbiting. So this is what Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought under this chapter. And he explains that the first thing is there's a certain objective to be achieved. And you can't achieve that objective except by taking somebody's name, by exposing some action of some person. It's the only way you can achieve that objective. And he mentions there are six such types of reasons that will permit backbiting. So just quickly to recap, the first is when a person is oppressed, person is a mazloom. We gave an example of a wife that is being bashed by her husband. She got no other recourse except to take the matter to a relevant authority and explain what is happening to her. So this won't be regarded as backbiting. The woman is being oppressed. So that's one example of the first instance. The second instance is a person is trying to change something that is wrong. And we gave an example of a ustad that goes and tells the father of the child that this is what your son is doing, so that hopefully the father will be able to change or make some change to the child's behavior. So that's the second instance when a person is trying to change a wrong. The third instance we explained when a person is asking a fatwa, he needs a ruling, he's in a certain condition, certain predicament, he needs some type of a ruling. So he explains his circumstance, and in explaining his circumstance, what he does is he exposes what the condition is. So this is the third. However, here Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi also explains that it's better when the person is asking the question, he uses a third person as an example to get the ruling. He doesn't necessarily give the actual names. So this was the third instance wherein a person is allowed to say something that would normally not be allowed in terms of backbiting. The fourth was what we started yesterday, is warning Muslims about an evil and advising them. And then under the fourth category, there are a few other subcategories. So that is what we are doing currently. The first subcategory was, we explained narrators of ahadith, that they would narrate hadith. So in other words, a sahabi would narrate a hadith that he heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thereafter, it would be a narrator that would narrate from that sahabi. And thereafter, another narrator and another narrator. And the chain of narrators would come until it would reach us. So what the muhaddiseen have done was they scrutinized at every level the narrators of hadith for their reliability, for their ability to remember, for their honesty, and also for their ability to, or for their, for them being known in society, for the honesty, etc. So they went through each one, how strong, and they categorized also whether a person was weak, person was strong, whether a person wasn't so strong. So all these things they did, but it was done to protect the science of hadith. In other words, to protect our deen. It was necessary to do this, therefore they did it. And then another thing we explained yesterday was that when a person is a witness in court, so now the court or the judge will ask for these two witnesses to be critiqued, that how honest are these two witnesses that are coming to witness. And there would be people that will critique, and they will say that these two witnesses either honest, either dishonest, they got a history or record of being dishonest or being involved in fraud, etc. So all that comes in front of the judge. So now when he's making his ruling, he'll make an informed ruling. He won't just take two people from the street that are witnessing in favor of someone. In other words, he knows the background of these two people. So if a person that is called to do this tazkiya, to try and critique this person that is a witness, if he is called and he's asked that you need to mention about him, and if he has to mention something that that person dislikes, there is no harm. In fact, it is necessary to uphold the system of justice. So today is one. Now we moved on to the third subcategory under warning, under the point number four, which is warning the Muslims about an evil and advising them. There's a subcategory number three that we are doing today. So this is what we are continuing with. ومنها المشاورة في مصاهرة إنسان أو مشاركته أو إيداعه أو معاملته أو غير ذلك أو مجاورته، ويجب على المشاور ألا يخفي حاله بل يذكر المساوية التي فيه بنية النصيحة. The second subcategory and the point number 4 is seeking advice and counsel regarding a person for the purpose of marriage. So somebody comes to you and tells you that there is a certain boy that proposed for my daughter. What do you think about this boy? Do you have any references that you can give me? Now he may know that boy, for example, to be a very good person. There's no harm he can mention, this is what I know about him. Or he may know some bad qualities of this person that proposed. For example, he may know that boy is involved in drugs, or that boy is known to be a fraudster, or that boy has got a very short fuse, gets very angry very quickly. Now it is necessary for him to inform that father that you're asking me, it's an amanat. You're asking me about this boy that proposed for your daughter or wants to come see your daughter. Now it is necessary for me to expose what I know about that boy. Now this doesn't become ghibat. Actually now it's become necessary. Why? Because the person has come to you for mashwara. So this is when people are coming for mashwara. One is for marriage. The other is, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi goes on to explain, business partnership. Somebody wants to go into partnership with another person and is asking you, can you please give me a reference as with regards to this person? I want to go into a business partnership with him. What do you know about him? What can you tell me? Should I go? Should I not go? And now I know that this person has got a history of doing down all his partners. So then at that point I should tell him that be careful. This person has got a history of fraud. The person has got a history of not being honest with his partners. It's better you don't go into a partnership with this type of person. So the first was marriage. Second was business partnership. Third is giving a trust. I want to leave. I'm going for Umrah. I'm going for Hajj. I want to leave some Kruger coins I got with this person. I'm asking you for your advice. You think it's okay, it's safe if I leave my cash with him when I'm going for Hajj and Umrah? I don't want to leave it at home. Now if I know that this person is not honest and he may just take that money of yours and it's gone, you won't see it again, now it becomes my duty to tell you that be careful. I don't think you should leave your money with this person. Or for example, this person may have a lot of debts. It's very likely you're going to leave your money with him. He's going to take that money and go pay his own debts off with the hope that he's going to get more money later on to repay you. Now he's going to do a wrong thing. You're leaving a trust with him, but he's using it for personal reasons. I'm aware of it. I should now tell you because you have come to me for mashwara. Next is you're engaging in some transaction. I want to do some business with a person, but I don't know this person's background. I ask someone else for reference. Now it becomes necessary because that person is being asked. It becomes necessary for him to mention what he knows about the person that is being asked. Or being a neighbor. I want to buy a house and I'm asking about the person that is staying next door. And you know that person that is staying next door is a terror. Or he's a person that is very, very inconsiderate about his neighbors. So now you tell me, be careful. This person is very inconsiderate. Late at night he blasts music. Late at night he makes a noise. Or he leaves his rubbish lying all over. So now you start mentioning that to me. So I'm aware that if I'm going to buy the house next to this person, I will have to live with all his nonsense. So therefore a person now exposes what that neighbor is doing or what that neighbor is. So it won't be regarded as ghibat, but here it is something that is necessary so that I don't end up buying the house and then regretting that what a neighbor I got. Imagine Sharia gives so much of regard even to the neighbor. Why? Because when a person lives next to a person, there's a lot of things that he has to put up with as far as his neighbor is concerned. A neighbor can make a person's life very pleasant, or a neighbor can make a person's life very difficult. So therefore, Shariat gives a lot of regard as far as a neighbor is concerned. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi goes on to explain that the person whose advice is sought should not conceal the condition of the person being asked about. Rather, he should mention his qualities with the intention of advice. So here again, we understand that in Shariat it's so beautiful. Sometimes a person has got one blanket mind that we can't speak bad about anybody. It doesn't matter what that person is doing, what harm he's causing, and what type of difficulty he's bringing about to society. We're just not supposed to speak about anybody. That is also completely wrong, as we can see from all these examples, that at times it becomes necessary to speak about someone. We can save someone from a lot of difficulty. If a man, for example, with today's example, that his daughter gets a proposal, and we know that boy that's proposing is on drugs, and we don't want this man. It can ruin his whole life day after. It can ruin his daughter's life day after. Why? Because we just got this mindset, we're not allowed to speak about anybody. That is wrong. Shariat is totally balanced. Where we're supposed to speak, we must speak. Where we're not supposed to speak, we got no interest, we're not being asked at all. There's no need for us to engage in any type of gossip. There we are the furthest away. We don't get involved, we don't stay there. In fact, in the previous chapter, what we learned is we move away from there if we can't reprimand, we can't stop, we can't defend the respect of the person, we move away from there. But where there's a need, there's a need. Shariat is actually asking us, in that case, a person now should expose what condition he knows of the person. He shouldn't unnecessarily hide it. Otherwise, what will happen is many people can go into problems, especially when we know that someone is dangerous as far as marriage is concerned, as far as a business partnership is concerned, as far as leaving your trust is concerned, as far as doing business dealing with the person is concerned, or even just buying a house next to that person is not a good thing, because he'll cause you all the type of harm. So now Shariat has permitted, has allowed for us to speak. So Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. So this is the beauty of Islam. You take everything and you put it in its correct perspective, then you'll get a very, very beautiful finish as far as our practice of Islam is concerned. Islam is there and it's always beautiful. It's our practice that we need to make beautiful. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yusifun. Wa salamun al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.